Father, as we come to this place of worship, we come to seek you. We come to seek your word. We come to lift our voices in praise to you. And we thank you for the honor that we have to serve you and your son Jesus. Now, Lord, we do want to take this time of intercession to pray for our nation. We pray for our president, our troops, and their families. Lord, we also pray for our government. Lord, as our Congress can't seem to get their act together to keep the government even running, we pray that you would somehow get through to them and help them to do their job, Lord. And Lord, I do want to lift up those. It seems like we just had a lot of deaths in our community, Lord. We certainly want to lift up Tommy and the Ward family, and Lord, we pray for all the other families that have been affected and by different people in their families passing away. Now, Lord, we do want to lift our voices in praise because we know that for the Christian, death doesn't have any sting. We go to be immediately with you. And we are with you in a place of rest and fellowship with you and others. And thank you for that, Lord. Now, Lord, we just pray that you would inhabit our worship this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. If you will, take your hymnals, turn to page 105. Standing as we sing, page 105. Grace greater than our sin.
Thank you.
if you'll turn over to 165. 165. In loving kindness, Jesus came.
It's time now for our children's sermon with Miss Deborah. Would the children come and gather up right down here so that she can teach you?
Everybody survived the snow and ice. Whew, it was pretty this week, but I sure am glad it's that way if we can enjoy today. You could feel your fingers, they nearly froze. I can see why. Well, last week we talked about time, and the verse we talked about, but I trust in you, Lord, I say, you are my God, my times are in your hands. Our word today is trust. How many of you have chickens at home?
I saw Tony and Katie Beth up here, and I thought they was getting ready to sing special, but they're not. Anyway, it's interesting to me because we were supposed to teach this lesson from our January Bible study on Wednesday night. And I kind of had to confess, I kind of planned it that way because I figured, and some of you women were excited because you got a class on Wednesday night and you weren't going to have to be here for the submission to husband's sermon. And some of you just don't come anyway, but God sent that hard freeze and the ice and all of that because he wanted this to be preached this morning. You're thinking, no, he didn't. Yeah, well, maybe. Who knows? I don't know.
But we've been, the last several sessions, talking about submission, okay? First we spoke about submitting to the government. This was last Sunday afternoon. And then we talked about submitting, slaves submitting to their masters, but we kind of changed it to at work. You know, you submit to whoever your boss is or person in authority. And so it's a natural thing to progress as he is teaching about this submission idea to the family. And we want, and basically we are getting into probably some of the most politically sensitive teaching in the Bible. And that is submission to husbands. I'll be honest with you. Probably over half of the weddings I do, the wife informs me that she doesn't want anything about this mentioned at their wedding. I'm not making that up. And to be honest with you, I don't mind that because I don't want some woman promising to submit to her husband when she has no intention of doing it. Why get up in front of everybody and lie, right? I mean, you know, I have a struggle when that person is a Christian, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But at the same time, I do appreciate their honesty in that. But one of the most misunderstood teachings in the Word of God is this very idea about women submitting to their husbands. So hopefully today we'll shed some light on that. And we're going to read 1 Peter chapter 3. If you'll look there, I'm back over in Chronicles or somewhere. So chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of the meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." Let's pray. Father, as we study your word, help us to seek the truth, because that's what will set us free from how the world has gotten in and corrupted and twisted your word. We need your freedom. We pray this in Jesus' name. I would like to read that again in a little different translation, just to kind of so we can clarify and make sure we're all there. I know many of you have that, but just listen. It says, "Wives, in a similar way, place yourselves under your husband's authority. Some husbands may not obey God's word. Their wives could win these men for Christ by the way they live without saying anything. And their husbands would see how pure and reverent their lives are. Wives must not let their beauty be something external. Beauty doesn't come from hairstyles, gold jewelry, or clothes. Rather, beauty is something internal that can't be destroyed. Beauty expresses itself in a gentle and quiet attitude which God considers precious. After all, this is how holy women who had confidence in God expressed their beauty in the past. They placed themselves under their husband's authority as Sarah did. Sarah obeyed Abraham and spoke to him respectfully. You became Sarah's daughters by not letting anything make you afraid to do good. We want to understand this. If you will look, the first word in chapter 3 in the King James Version is likewise. The modern translation, it says in a similar way. We want to understand this, that the truth is, in a Christian marriage, both, write that down, both partners should be submissive to each other. Now, if we go on to verse 7, it talks to husbands, and we'll be talking hopefully Wednesday night about that. That's the message we were supposed to have today, but we didn't want to get ahead of ourselves. But notice the first word in chapter 7, likewise. Okay, so what we've got, we've been talking about submission, submission to government, submission to owners, and all of that. Then it says, likewise, in like manner, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. And then immediately when he starts talking about husbands, he says the same thing, likewise. You know, so all of these are connected. The idea to wives here is a new commitment to authority, and write this down, instead of rebelling against an unbelieving husband. Instead of criticizing an unsaved husband or some husband whom you think may not be as spiritual as you are, the wife can win her husband to Jesus or by a closer walk with him by their and with their conduct. Now, this is the same principle taught previously in our submission to government. You can win lost people to Jesus by your attitude of submission to government, by your attitude of submission at work, and they see that and they see your good attitude toward that, you win people to Jesus. Now, this was written specifically to women who had come to Christ, whose husbands had not come to Christ. Now, you know, I'll just be honest with you, I don't believe that nowadays, if a woman is a Christian, that she should marry a non-Christian. The Bible clearly teaches that. That's not what this is talking about, because in those days, everybody was unsaved. And so sometimes what would happen, the woman, the wife, would get saved and her husband was not saved. And sometimes that happens today. Two people are not saved, they get married, then one of them gets saved. Well, what do you do then? To get a divorce? Well, some people were saying, well, let's do that. But that's not what they're teaching here. They're teaching here, you live a Christian life as an example, and by your example, you may win your husband. And you could apply the same thing to the man. If the man got saved and the wife didn't, you can, by your conduct, win your mate to Jesus. And that's what he's speaking specifically to people in this situation. But he is also speaking generally to all married women. Okay? We've got to understand that many times the Bible talks specifically to a group of people who is going through and struggling with a specific type of thing. But also, because it is the Word of God, it is also speaking generally to all of us.
Okay, so ladies, don't say, well, I'm not married to a non-Christian, so this doesn't apply to me. No, it does apply to you, because generally it's speaking to all married women. And notice verse 1, I like the way it says, you can win him without a word. 1 Corinthians 7:16 says, how can you be sure, Christian wife, that you will not save your husband? You might save your husband by your conduct. Now this means that a wife's behavior should be such that even when she says nothing, write that word down, nothing about Jesus, her husband would see a positive change in her. I believe this. A Christian wife, or you could say husband too, character can melt a husband's heart more than her words can. A Christian wife's love and compassion can be used greatly by the Holy Spirit of God in winning him to Christ. And I will say this about many things. You know, many, many times we talk too much. We just talk too much. Men, we talk too much. Women, you talk too much. And what happens is you just keep on going with it and keep on going with it. And what some of you folks who've been married a while, you know what I'm talking about because you're grinning. Because if you just keep on going with it, what's he going to do? He's going to bow up on you. Right? Sometimes it's better just to say what you want to say and let it go and let God work in it. My wife does that. She'll say it, and I'll get all mad and bow up, and then she'll shut up, and then after a while, I'll be under conviction so much that eventually I'll, you know, do what God wants me to do, that he's used her. And sometimes she does that. You know, when we went to get our girls, y'all heard me say this, she wasn't ready. I was ready, man. I was ready to go get them right then. I mean, I was ready to load up and go. She wasn't. And I was smart enough to just shut up and let the Lord work on her. And eventually when she came, particularly one of them, she came after several years and said, I'm ready. And I said, good, I got the paperwork. Here it is. Just sign here. You know, we were ready to go. Look. But if I'd have kept on, now she would have submitted. My wife will submit. She will, because she believes the Word of God and she will do that. But I didn't want that. I didn't want her doing it just because, you know, I told her she had to. And you know what? If we did not do that, we wouldn't have the two girls we have. And what would our life be like? I couldn't make it without either one of my girls. God knew and God held her back so we could get joy and faith. And I believe that. And sometimes, guys, we just need to be patient and realize that sometimes he isn't ready to go because God isn't telling him to go yet or her to go yet. And when it's time, then it'll happen, and then things will work out for his glory. And we need to understand that. Our Christian love and compassion has much more effect in winning people than our words. Now, words are important. We must also, you know, be able to share. People can't know the gospel unless we say it, obviously. I'm not saying never speak, but sometimes we just go on and on and on, and, you know, we need to move on. And then verse 2 talks about chaste conduct. Did you notice that? It says, they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. You know, in Peter's time, many women were Christian converts, thought they were free to, write this down, not submit because their husbands were insensitive to spiritual matters. So here they are. They are saved. They have a relationship with King Jesus. They know more about what God wants them to do than their husband, who isn't even saved, obviously. So they felt like, well, I don't need to submit to him because I know what God wants me to do. And there are many women today the same way. When I was in Arkansas, First Baptist Church in Conway, Arkansas, had a women's study group. And this is the truth, and I'm not against women's study groups, but this group became so spiritual that over half of the women in that group left their husbands because their husbands weren't spiritual enough. That's ridiculous. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you can't be that way. Your husband and your wife may not ever be as spiritual as you think they ought to be, but guess what? God's the one in control of that, and you need to just shut up and let Him take care of it if they're not spiritual enough. Because He's the one that makes people spiritual, not you, right? So understand, these women felt like, oh, I'm saved now. I don't have to submit to my husband because he's not saved. And that's not what he's saying here. He's saying submit to them. And this teaches just the opposite. Because he says a Christian wife's chaste reverence for God. Write that down. Her fear of God will show her husband her integrity and commitment not only to God but to Him. That's it. And then one of the things that we all like to study about, ladies, beauty. Beauty, verses 3 and 4. Did you get that? That was pretty cool, wasn't it? Did you get that? 3 and 4. Don't let your beauty be something external. Beauty doesn't come from hairstyles, gold jewelry, or clothes, although it may not hurt, but you know what I'm saying? You know, outwardly. But real beauty is something internal that can't be destroyed. Beauty expresses itself in a gentle and quiet attitude which God considers precious. God's beauty, write it down, is not worldly beauty. You know, worldly beauty is outward. That's all the world has going for it. It's outward beauty. But God's beauty is based on a gentle and quiet spirit. Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceptive, beauty disappears, but a woman who honors the Lord should be praised. God's beauty doesn't depend on makeup. God's beauty doesn't depend on clothes and jewelry. It is all about inner character. It is beyond skin deep. Write that character word down there, kids. And then we come to verses 5 and 6, and it talks about submission. Submission. After all, this is how holy women who had confidence in God expressed their beauty in the past. They placed themselves under their husband's authority, as Sarah did, and gave Sarah as an example, you know. You see, when the Bible talks about marital submission, it does not mean that the wife is less, write that word down, less than her husband. And it does not teach that the wife can never make decisions. That's silly. It does not teach that the wife should somehow be her husband's slave or servant. It does teach that the husband is to be the spiritual leader in the home and that both the husband and the wife should submit to Jesus. Ephesians 5:21, submit yourself to one another because of your reverence for Jesus. That's why we all submit to each other. That's why we submit to our boss. That's why we submit to the government. That's why we submit to anyone or anything because of our reverence for Jesus. Now, it does, and God's, you know, gave the example of Sarah and Abraham. I love that, and I thought about over in Genesis 18, you know, when they told him, you know, here's Sarah, old woman, you know, and the angels comes like, oh, by the way, she's going to have a baby, and she's back here cracking up because she said, boy, you don't know me very well, you know, and everything. And I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, but I know she did not have a virgin birth. I know that God did not put that baby within her so that at some point she submitted to her husband and they had that baby, Isaac. Okay? We won't go into detail, but you just think about that for a minute and you can figure it out. She submitted to her husband as God wanted her to do it. Those holy women of God were women who modeled godly submission. You know, Christian women are not under the authority of men. But, write this down, they are under the authority of God. If you're a Christian, I don't care if you're a man or a woman, you are under the authority of God. I'm sorry, that's just Bible teaching. And they are to submit to the authority of God first and then to the authority of their husbands. What does God in His authority tell Christian wives? Verse 1. Be in subjection to your own husband. Right? Look. Don't tell me, and that's my problem with the girls that say, I don't want that in my wedding. I don't want that in my wedding. Well, then don't tell me that you're a Christian, because you're telling me you want me to leave a good part of the Word of God out of your wedding. Because it's pretty clear, not just here, but at many places, where it says you are to subject yourselves to your husband's authority. Now, if you don't want to do that, that's fine, but you are starting your wedding off in rebellion against God. Now, my friends, that's not a good way to start a marriage. I'm sorry. It may be politically correct, but it's not a good way for two Christians to start their marriage. Because God's Word, why do they call it God's Word? Because it's God's Word. It's what He tells us, says that. Submission to God is, write it down, key to all Christian obedience. When I'm rebelling against those who are in authority over me, I'm rebelling against God. It's not my, you know, if I'm working somewhere and I don't like my boss and I'm rebelling against my boss, or I'm a student in school and I don't like my teacher and I'm rebelling against my teacher because teachers are just stupid, and most of them are, I know, because I was one. And you know, and I'm married to somebody and I'm rebelling because he's a doofus. Most men are. And all of that, and I'm rebelling against him. The problem's not with them or that teacher or whatever. The problem is you're rebelling against God. And that's a problem. When you say, God, I don't care what your word says, I'm going to do what I want to do because I'm not going to be in subjection to a doofus. Well, then, all right, you're just saying, all right, God, you're a doofus, and I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. Anyone, not just women. If you are struggling to submit to government, and let's just face it, it's just the real struggle nowadays to have a lot of respect for the government. You know, when everything shuts down because these people up in Washington can't figure things out, it's just real hard to be submissive to that. But if we're struggling with that, if we're struggling with our boss, we're struggling with our school teacher at college or in high school or whoever, when we're struggling with our husband, we're struggling with our wife, we're struggling, the struggle's not with them, the struggle's with God. Because God clearly told you what to do, and you're just struggling with that. When you submit to God, all of these other submissions are no trouble. And you know what? Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross to give us victory over this type of thing. And if you're not saved, you're going to have a hard time submitting to anything because you are going to be a person that wants to be in control and be the boss. And, you know, I don't care if you're a man or a woman. And you're going to struggle with it. But Jesus Christ came to pay the price for our selfishness. Selfishness is a sin. And He died on the cross. And if you're willing to turn from your sin of selfishness, maybe you're struggling in your marriage, maybe you're struggling at work, maybe you're struggling at school, and you just know better than them, and let's face it, you probably are smarter than them in a lot of ways. Eh? So what? I taught kids all along that were smarter than me. I taught Jordan Box. She knew a lot more than I did about English. Gosh. You know. But she still submitted to my authority because I was her teacher. You know, listen to me, guys. If you're struggling with that, you're struggling with sin. And you need to come to Jesus for salvation, or you need to surrender to Him as a Christian. Would you pray with me? Father, as we have studied these ideas, these concepts of submission to authority, and Lord, I just have to confess to you that I struggle with anger toward our government. But Lord, I still have to submit to them. And Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to realize that if we're struggling with our submission to authority, we're struggling with our submission to your authority, not just the people whom you placed over us, because they wouldn't be over us if you didn't put them there. I pray that if there's someone here that's not saved, that today they'll realize what Jesus did for them on the cross and come to Him. And Lord, I pray that there are Christians that are struggling with submission to authority. Maybe it's a woman that's struggling with submission to her husband because maybe he's not what she thinks he ought to be spiritually. Well, if he's a Christian, he's going to grow. We just need to be patient with each other. We turn this time of invitation over to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your head.